Everyone dreams about living an uncommon life, but how we define that dream is very different for each of us. And for most, it's a lifelong pursuit. Welcome to the Uncommon Life Project podcast. We're going to introduce you to people who are living that life or enjoying the journey to get there. We're going to also give you some tools, tricks, and tips for starting or accelerating your own efforts to live an uncommon life, a life worth celebrating and savoring. Please welcome your hosts, Brian Dewhurst and Philip Ramsey.
Hello and welcome everybody to another episode of the Uncommon Life Project, where I am your host, Philip Ramsey.
And Aaron Kramer.
Here we are, rocking and rolling.
Got a good one today.
We do have a good one today. Thanks for saying that. And why do we have the guest on that we have? Why? Right. What's important?
So this month is PTSD month.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's important that we pull this thing because it's one of those things that really just doesn't get enough attention, that needs more.
Right. And if you know anything about Aaron Kramer, he's all about psychology, like the reason behind things. That's all about him. So this is all about, like, Aaron figured out this guest. I've heard a little bit of the guest's story. I cannot wait to unpack this one because it's so good about PTSD, but it's also good about just therapy in general and just helping people, impacting others. And he had a passion for it. So, like, let's get him on the show. Give him our bio for Matt.
So this is Matt Oberent. He, like, has an amazing mission he's done. Like, and we went to high school together. We were, like, acquainted, but, like, not, like, hangout groups kind of thing. But through that, we know people. And I was trying to find somebody for PTSD. So I got friends in the military and stuff, got names. But his name legitimately came up multiple times from different parties. So I was like, hey, fellow Mustang, DCG, got to do this. So here's Matt, and he's going to tell you all about his nonprofit and hear all these amazing things he's doing.
True Impact Outdoors. Matt, that's you, buddy. Welcome to the show.
That's me and a whole lot of other people. Thank you guys very much for having me on.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have to just go back to the basics. One, first thing that you said when we met was like, well, I'm kind of a hunter. Or maybe Aaron said you were the hunter group and Aaron was the wrestler group. But you've always had a passion for hunting.
Oh, yes. Anything to get outdoors, anything to get gone from the house and gone from work and get out.
Right. Okay. So did your father was a huge hunter, grandparent, like all that?
Yep. Absolutely. Grew up in a family of outdoorsmen and hunters and fishermen and constantly out. Any excuse to go, we'd be gone.
What do you hunt? Like what? Anything?
Anything they'll let us hunt. Absolutely. Deer, turkey.
Fishing. What do you use to hunt? I mean, there's a lot of things I don't know, so I'm just asking this for my sake, really.
Oh, my favorite's always the bow. You got to get the bow out, but shotguns and now rifles and anything we can do. All depends on what we're after and makes it more fun.
I gotta say, your coolness factor just went up a little bit in my book. Because if I was gonna hunt, which I don't. Oh man, it'd be bad. But I would do it with a bow because I feel like there is something primal about it.
Oh yeah, you got to give them a little bit more chance that way. Right?
Thank you, Matt.
Yeah.
Aaron, I love the guest already. Okay, so you have a past of hunting, and then let's walk our listeners through what is like your career path. And obviously, we all know that you are doing something with hunting. Spoiler alert. But we'll get to that. But I want to know, like, what was your career path before you started saying, like, you know what? I'm going to go after my passion, and I'm going to figure out how to get paid by hunting.
I am definitely not getting paid by this career path. And it's not even a career path. It's just a passion path, maybe.
Okay.
But the career path's always been construction.
Okay.
In one fashion or another, and I've bounced around to about every facet of it, but currently in the construction still as well.
So that fuels your passion.
It definitely fuels the passion and keeps the lights on. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. So you put, like, so because so much more goes into what we're going to get into, like, because of your full-time job, like, because your heart is so big. That's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, no, I got to have a full-time job to like fully pour into this thing that we're going to get into.
Oh, yeah. That balance is tricky between work and family and the nonprofit. It's something that I need to still figure out, that perfect balance.
Oh, we're going to get into it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. So let's talk about True Impact Outdoors. So what is it? What's the genesis from it? And like, how did you start kind of tailoring into this is what I want to do and I want to pour into this?
It's been, I think it's been in me and a lot of the main folks that are involved with True Impact Outdoors since the beginning, since early on, even clear back in school and just out of school, obviously in the world we live in with 9/11 and things, a lot of my friends were gone. They went straight into the military out of school. And when they'd come home on leave, they had a little bit of time. And I loved going hunting with them, helping them make sure that they were successful for the, you know, the week or whatever they had. If I could do anything to help them get a deer shot or whatever they were doing, I got more reward and enjoyment out of that than being in the stand myself, you know, shooting one. I felt like, you know, it was more of a, personally, it was more of a success if I could help somebody else get one than get one myself.
Right.
I'd say that was where it started.
Sure. And then I totally can relate to this because when, I don't know, do you have children?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's almost like looking through your children's eyes and going to the park for the first time. Like the amount of joy they get is there's this another level of like, oh, you're kind of almost reliving what you've loved to do.
Oh yeah.
Park is maybe not a good example, but you love to hunt. And so when you get somebody else getting excited about it too, it almost fuels more of a passion of why you loved it in the beginning. So I love that.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Now that my son, he's just turning 7 here this month.
Okay.
He's obsessed with the outdoors as well, you know, everything about it's more rewarding taking him and seeing it through his eyes and how exciting it is for him as well. I agree.
Right. 100%. So you're seeking after people who have gone into the military, veterans at this point, right? And trying to help them have an experience out in the wild hunting that you always love to do at this point, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And then when does it evolve to like, all right, I think we can do this as a business.
Well, non-profit. We're missing something there.
Yeah, let's go.
It's like, what was the event that showed you the like the true impact that like hunting is having on people that have PTSD?
Good question.
It's a little personal for you.
Yeah. There's definitely a personal side of that, and there's a lot of there was a lot of little things that I saw and that I felt that all grew into one big mission and passion, I guess, for me. But one that really sticks hard is my brother. When he came back from the Marine Corps, I think he was 6 years in, I finally hounded him enough. He had never been a big hunter growing up. He was a basketball guy. You were the wrestling guy. Yeah. He was a basketball guy, right? And so he wasn't out in the winter and in the fall with Dad and I hunting. He was shooting baskets, practicing nonstop games and things like that. And never really was his thing. And when he came back from Marine Corps, I thought, well, all right, brother can teach me how to shoot. This is going to be sweet, you know, and if nothing else, we're going to get some time to hang out and I can corner him. He's got daughters now and he's married and he's got work. And I kept hounding him. I said, let's go hunting.
And he was reluctant at first.
Oh yeah. It took a while. I mean, just if nothing else, just I'll blame his schedule, you know?
Right.
But finally we got him out. He definitely wasn't jumping on the idea right away, and it never was his thing. So finally he went out with Dad and I one weekend and put him in the tree stand and told him, I knew a deer well that would be walking through there. It was a nice 8-point deer. And I said, he'll be coming through. He's yours, you know? And okay. And he shot it. He harvested his first deer. He was on cloud 9. I was on cloud 9. It was a great day for all of us, and had a blast. And I didn't realize at that point until later, actually, I'd heard him talking about it. It had done a lot more for him than I ever realized. Sure. He came home, and I'm sure he won't mind me telling the story a little bit, but he came home and he felt like a little bit more of a guest at home than we ever would have imagined, or he should have. And you know, kind of a guest in his own home at mom and dad's at Christmas and everything like that. And going out with us made him realize that I was still his brother. His dad was still his dad, and time had kind of waited for him a little bit. It hadn't moved on when he was in the Marine Corps. Right. And I think it kind of helped him get back to Iowa, get back to family.
Right.
More than I had ever realized it would be.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know this, but thinking of somebody going overseas in 6 years, you can really feel like almost a stranger in your own home, that like they all have different lives now.
Well, then like the amount of what they experience over there.
Oh,
like,
man.
I can't imagine like at all. Like you're like, it's 6 years. When I think like is happening to me in the past 6 years.
Right.
It's a lot.
It's a long time.
But then put it in what they have to go through. It probably feels like, I mean, decades of things have changed.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
So he goes on this hunt.
Yeah.
It almost like shakes him like, no, like, we're still your brother. We're still your family. Mm-hmm. And we love you. Yep. We're here.
And you know, as strong as all of our military men and women are and everything, you know, I didn't have a clue what it had done. And the same thing has happened with True Impact Outdoors as well. You know, there's so many things that have come about. And I'm so lucky to have some of my best friends I've ever made are these veterans that we're lucky to get to hang out with now. And hearing from them that, you know, a silly deer hunt that we're going on or a turkey hunt or something, how it can change a life and you know, get things straightened out I still don't fully understand it, I don't think. But I've heard it enough times that I know it's real.
Right.
And it's been pretty neat.
So cool.
So how did you like, so we got that story is amazing. And I think it's like this is the core of it. So it lit the fire for you here. Like you sit with your brother and like your friends growing up. So then now we're like, how do you start taking this and like bringing it to True, you know, Impact Outdoors?
It took a lot of talking, a lot of thinking, a lot of planning. We want to do it right. And something that we talked about as the board, as the originators, when we were first putting this together, something we said was, if we can't do this better than it's ever been done, we need to step back and go help those people that are doing it better. And
partner with those who are already doing it.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Okay. And we had tried, and me being a civilian, not being a veteran, there was
a barrier there.
Yeah, they weren't really interested in having me, you know, volunteer with a lot of these organizations. So.
Which I want to take a moment there, because, like, I mean, where we're like, you know, we talked about this, and I totally respect that and understand that.
Oh, yeah.
But here, this is like an uncommon path. Like, you sat there and said, like, no, okay, I respect that, and I really do, and I understand it, but, like, you're like, I have a passion for this. I'm still going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely.
Well, because you just saw how impactful it was for your brother.
Right.
And so you had to call your friends and be like, listen, I just had this experience with my brother. There's got to be other people out there that are feeling the same way.
Yeah. I think that a lot of us that didn't serve, I mean, we owe everything we've got. You know, the fact that we can sit here today.
Freedom.
Yeah. Is because of them. And I don't think there's any way we can give back enough to those that did, you know, that did serve and did what they did for
sacrificed.
Us. Sacrificed. Yep. Yep. And so the least we can do for them is everything we can do. And I'm not willing to kind of just sit down and say, okay, when I'm told no a couple times, and that's kind of my stubbornness anyway, but it, we had to keep going and trying it. And, Anthony, he is a Marine, my old roommate from college. We were talking about it a lot, trying to get into organizations, get me involved in organizations around Iowa that we're taking veterans outdoors. And it finally, I think, got to a point where we said, you know what, let's just do it ourselves. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And let's find a niche that needs to be, you know, taken care of. Let's find a hole that needs filled. And that's what True Impact is going to do.
Right.
And we're going to do it better than it's ever been done, or we're going to get out of the way. And we've worked tirelessly and endless hours to make sure that we do the best we can with it, and hopefully we're doing that.
Are there other nonprofits out there that do similar things? Not necessarily what you do, because you're kind of talking about the niche that you started serving. But when you were doing the research at the beginning, was there other services out there that would take veterans out and hunt with them?
Absolutely. Okay. And Iowa is actually incredible for that.
Really?
Yeah. There's more veteran support in Iowa than I've seen in the Midwest, I should say, more than Iowa, but than the rest of the country by far.
Wow.
It's impressive. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And there's other organizations that are doing similar things to what we do. And neat thing about this is the competition with the daily work, it's right. competition. If somebody's got a like-minded right. situation going on, or their business is like-minded to yours, it's competition.
Okay.
This is the exact opposite.
Yeah. Like, how many more can we serve?
Right.
How can I help you?
We're loaning our adaptive equipment out to other organizations and helping them out with volunteers and anything we can all the time. It's really, really refreshing.
Absolutely.
Coming from the construction world where it's competition every day to
cutthroat.
Yeah, now it's help everybody we can and keep doing the same thing.
Right. So it's your fun. Niche that you landed on, that you're going to help, was what?
It started out as we saw a shortcoming in the veterans that, you know, there was a lot of those, I guess the best way to explain it, there's a lot of those organizations that, you know, they'll be on a Facebook page and say, you know, anybody that wants to go hunting next weekend, I've got an open spot in my blind or anything like that. And there was a lot of folks who didn't they're not going to jump on there and say that, whether it be their personality, their PTSD won't allow them to be doing that, or their physical requirements for going, climbing up into that blind. Won't, they're not going to be able to, you know, if they're paralyzed or missing a limb, or even, you know, seeing impaired, they can't, you know, if they're blind, they're not going to be hiking out into the timber with somebody. And we wanted to make sure that there was nobody left, left behind on that end of things. You know, those are the ones that we felt probably needed to go hunting as much as anybody, and
more,
let's make it
right.
happen.
Yeah. Right.
And that work that, you know, it takes a little bit more work to do it, but that's what we're here for. And that's what we need to do.
Right. So almost the fringe of the fringe, the fringe of, like, you know, this veteran kind of idea, is one thing to, like, niche down, but you even niche down even further. The people who almost feel excluded from whatever reason they have, maybe it's ability or something that's holding them back. You were like, let's go get those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Try to anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, the veteran community is a very proud, strong community, and they don't hold a sign saying, you know, I'm struggling, or
right.
I'm staying at home because right. I don't want to go out and deal right. with the, you know, people and things like that. So it's been a trick. It's definitely been one of our main hurdles, but we're getting there.
Nice.
We're getting there. Get the word out.
You got to get the word out.
That's right.
This podcast will help.
Yeah.
Amen.
The 7 people that listen to it. No, we actually have more than that. Okay. So, so you're getting this, and now you're like, let's talk about the first time that you take out, and their first time of veterans that are maybe been disabled for whatever reason, you're going out. Tell us about that hunt.
Oh boy. The first one, it was amazing. It was scary. It was nerve wracking. It was fun. We, there was kind of two things that set it up to make it happen. I was at a wonderful veterans fishing event held down at Lake Rathbun. It's called Castaways, and I was volunteering down there. We just ripped the seats out of our pontoon boat, and we go down, and we get a whole bunch of awesome guys in wheelchairs, and we can roll right on that pontoon boat, and it's a blast. We go fishing for a week straight. Awesome deal.
Wow.
And I sat down at dinner one night, and I knew one gentleman that was at the table, Randy, and I didn't really know anyone else at the table. Come to find out, it was some pretty important and pretty special folks there. And they were talking, and I'm eating my dinner, kind of listening out the corner of my ear. And they were talking about wanting to put together a hunt at the Honey Creek State Park. And they said, you know, this is not our forte. We're a fishing event, and not really our deal. And Randy piped up, and he says, Matt'll do it. Just matter of fact as it could have ever been. Oh, crap. Okay, here we go. And I looked up and said, yeah, we'll do it. And that night I went back and called everybody on the board. We had, you know, put together a board, obviously, for TI by that time, and we were starting to figure it all out. And I said, guys, I committed to something. I hope it's okay. And everybody was, heck yeah, let's do it. Assuming wow. you're 8. And I said, we got about $10,000 to raise to do it. You know, I put together the numbers, what it'll be for everything we'll need. And I said, you know, we got to try to raise this money. And if we can't, I looked at my wife and I said, if we can't, we're gonna have to front this, because it's going to happen. And
pony up, yeah.
She didn't choke me. She didn't kick me out of the house. So she was on board.
Good life right there.
Yeah. She was supportive. I'm blessed to have her still to this day. I don't know how she deals with me, but we went for it. And the community back home, business owners and folks that I don't know, I don't understand why, but they believed in my dream and my air castle I was building, I guess, there. And I told them what our goal was, and they said, we're in. And they made it happen for us. And we took 10 veterans to Honey Creek State Park for the first time that state park had ever been hunted in its history. We were allowed to take those 10 veterans in, and they harvested some deer there. And it was a really special deal. Really
wow. Neat. That's kind of cool to say you're the first person to ever be able to hunt there.
Oh, yeah. How cool is that for those guys?
So cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We the other part of that was fun was our first big hurdle on adaptive equipment came from that first hunt.
Yeah.
There's a gentleman named Eldon that hunted with us, and he's blind, completely blind. And we sat down at a campfire one night at that fishing event, actually, that same week. And Eldon I told him, you know, what we were trying to do. We were just BSing at the campfire.
Yeah.
And Joe Manning, one of our main volunteers, still to this day, he said, we can do this. And he explained it through military terminology that I couldn't tell you if I remembered anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's, you know, we set out how to get Eldon able to shoot his own deer, being completely blind. And between Joe and Eldon and I and everybody else that was involved, we got it figured out. And Eldon shot his own deer completely blind. He handled the gun. He pulled the trigger. He did it all himself that first year and shot his own deer.
All right. That's so amazing. You know, beforehand, because we were talking a little bit and he was telling about the story. So you got to tell us how that Eldon shot his own deer. Cause I think a lot of people are like, now, or tell me how.
It's pretty neat. It's a arm that holds the gun and it's mounted to Eldon's chair inside the blind.
Yeah.
And he can move that gun around wherever he wants and it helps to stabilize it, hold it in place where he's at. And we've got a phone that'll mount to the back of his scope on the shotgun.
Mm-hmm.
And the volunteer, Joe, with Eldon, mm-hmm. he'll sit behind Eldon and put his hands on Eldon's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll squeeze the left shoulder or the right shoulder to tell him, you know, he needs to aim left or right. And he'll run his thumb up or down on his shoulder blade to tell him to go up or down. And then when Joe taps on Eldon's shoulder,
it's go time.
Eldon knows he can squeeze off that shot. He loads the gun.
Thinking about that,
so cool. It is really cool. And Eldon, it's funny, he is a better shot than anybody that can see out there. There is no target panic. There is no concern whatsoever. He is so relaxed.
Dialed in.
Oh, yeah. It is awesome. It is awesome. Yep.
So really he got his first deer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
he
shot
it. Yep. It was cool. Really fun. Really neat day.
Oh, wow. So, okay. So now, I mean, I'm sorry. Aaron, what questions do you have, buddy?
No, I love this. I love that story. Because you were to also tell us about this, like, machine thing that you guys are working on, like, for someone that's paralyzed, like, from neck down, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We've got lots of folks that, you know, are in wheelchairs and things to go hunting. That's pretty much, you know, just the mobility stuff, and that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, you know, carts so that the guys and gals can go out hunting, pheasant hunting behind the dog, get right up behind the dog, and, you know, really enjoy what a pheasant hunt's about, which is watching those dogs work. And then they can obviously harvest that bird, too, being right there, hands-on. But we were actually just able to purchase, due to a donation from Hunters Management Group, a business that's been a big supporter of ours, we purchased a piece of equipment that allows folks that are neck down paralyzed to aim and shoot their own gun. Wow. With this gun vise that's got it's got rams and actuators that aim the gun for them using a joystick that they can move with their chin. Wow. And then there's another up to bite button, I think, is what I'm going to have the terminology wrong, but basically there's a little switch they can bite on and it'll pull the trigger for them.
Yep. Unreal.
Yep. So
like, okay, so we got to ask, because you're a nonprofit and everything here. Mm-hmm. How much did one of those things cost?
Yeah, that was right around, I think that was right around the 5,000 mark, and we'll have a little bit more to add to it, to adapt it and tweak it for our needs, but
it's actually a lot cheaper than I thought.
Way cheaper than I expected to.
Okay. Yep. All right. So I want to make sure you're on the same page.
We got some help from the business that builds them. They were very good to us. Right. So,
okay.
Yep.
Tell us how the trying to get a nonprofit was, getting the paperwork set. I'm only asking that because Brian's not here and he'd be asking that question. So
It wasn't, the state level is easy. The 501c3 level at the federal level
is a
little trickier.
Okay.
And to be completely honest with you, we made sure we had all the rules that we needed, you know, getting the board set up and all the things that we needed to do. I paid the attorney. We did it the right way to make sure we didn't screw it up.
I think that's wise. Right. That's
yeah.
wise.
Yeah.
Right.
I could do it five times myself and mess it up every time. Well, let's let them do it once and we'll get ahead of things.
So I think like one thing the listeners need to know is like, cause about nonprofits, because like every time, like I know for me, I hear about a nonprofit, you hear about these big ones and like people are always knocking on doors and things like that and fundraising. But like what comes to the different here too is like when you have someone that has a full-time job, like you own your own business on the side, you run this on the side with a bunch of other people, you know, on the board and stuff. But on top of that, like you mentioned, like you're a construction worker. So it's not like you're the salesperson, right? So then on top of that, like you got to go start asking for money.
Yeah.
And like that first one, I know we were talking about this, like here, you got to raise $10,000 and like, it was just fascinating to me, and I totally can relate to this. Like, here, you're going to ask for money, and like, it's not for you, but you feel like you are.
That was definitely a hurdle for me. I struggled out the gate with that because, you know, I've never asked anyone other than maybe my mom and dad, you know, I've never asked anybody for money. Yeah. And I still don't even like doing that, you know? And, so it was very odd and very uncomfortable at first. And especially that first hunt, I'm not even able to sell them a product or sell them on what we are doing. I'm selling them on what we hope we'll be able to do.
An idea of,
yes, yeah. Right. And I can't tell you how much appreciation I have for those folks who, well, basically they said, Matt, you're going to do it. We know you'll do it, but you darn well better do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, they would cut checks, and it was beyond humbling and motivating. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. When I've got these folks who are willing to get behind me, and, you know, when the bus is rolling, people will jump on, and right, they're on board. Well, but to get that,
I would say, because it really, what they were doing is they were believing in you. Does that make sense? Like in your character, and like, they probably knew that the best thing they could do for this organization is them pay you. Cause yeah, you probably could have done it yourself, but they knew if they put a dollar in, you weren't going to mistrust that dollar. That means that thing is going to get done, which is cool. That's why I'm saying, like, there's sometimes where people ask for money and they're like, meh, I'm out, because of the person, not because the idea isn't great. Mm-hmm. But Matt, that says a huge testimony to you. And I think it's interesting that you, like, it's kind of hard for me to ask for money. Well, you know, your friends knew that. And so when you did, like, we're totally doing this. This is happening.
That could be. I don't want to question their judgment skills by saying they would support me on my dream. But yeah, no, they were in, and it worked. And now it's so much easier now that we can show people what we do. Mm. And the people that are on board, they're all in. And now it's second and third person. It's, hey, you heard about TIO? You want to get in on this? It's fun. It's right. Cool. And it's become a lot more genuine and smooth.
Right.
And
you got it off the runway. I would say, like, this is our analogy in Uncommon Life, is like, you're kind of like an airplane coming down the runway. Like, you're going to get this hanger off this thing, or, and now you're up and out, you know, like you're really flying and you're gliding. And so that's really cool.
Yeah. Cause I mean, that's the whole thing. Like, I'm gonna go back to the donations. Cause, like, you know, like for our listeners, like every nonprofit's always looking for more donations. Right. But like, it's the fact that, like, and I know when we were talking about this, and we were by ourselves, when you were telling me about, like, how genuine you felt about, like, how weird it was to ask for money. And, like, I know, like, this isn't your game, and I know, like, I like the why behind things, and especially when it comes to money. But it's, like, it's because you truly, like, I mean, you're a construction worker, so you, like, work hard, right? Mm-hmm. So you know the value of money. So for someone to give you money is, like, you know all the responsibility behind that. That's why it's so hard. Mm-hmm. But again, that's why you built something so beautiful that's doing amazing things for our veterans. Mm-hmm. That's like, I don't know, I took my hat off to you. It's amazing. That's a quality you have. I know, like, you probably don't, like, know that, but that's why, like, you've done what you've done. It's such an amazing thing because you have such amount of respect from people that are like, they'll be like, no, Matt's going to bust his butt. Mm-hmm. And when I give him $1,000, $500, to him, it's like, you're giving me a gold bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Let's talk about this, because I don't know if a lot of times people recognize this, and I know you have. So tell us the sacrifice your wife made when you were going after this dream.
My wife, her sacrifice has been nonstop, ongoing. My wife and kids they get the short stick every time every time we do something, and they've been so supportive, and it's been a blessing really on the kids' side of things, because I love taking them along and introducing them to these guys and gals that we hunt with and things like that. But Nicole has been an absolute godsend. It couldn't happen without her, obviously.
Thanks, Nicole.
She believed in this pipe dream originally, and I think she knew I was stubborn enough to probably make it happen one way or another. She supports it, you know, whether it be financially, or the biggest thing that it's been a juggle that I've still tried to figure out, and always probably will, is time. Mm-hmm. You know, she sacrificed all of it, you know, and I guess, like I said, it wouldn't happen without her, but yeah, she's sacrificed about everything on it, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been pretty cool.
How many veterans do you, on a yearly basis, like, go out and help hunt?
I should count that. I really should. I should get a number on that. I would say,
maybe ballpark it.
Oh boy. Total, hunts. We average about 10 to 15 veterans per hunt. And I want to say we've got roughly 8 hunts right now.
Okay.
And we'll probably be at 10 or 12 by the end of this year for sure. We're growing.
So you're probably 150 veterans that are you're taking out to hunt.
And some of them come to multiple hunts. Yep. Okay. Yep. It's not a one-time one yeah. hunt. You're well, out.
Sounds See like ya. It's you pretty it once, addictive. They want to come back. Yeah, Eldon yeah. is going to shoot another thing. I'll tell you that right you're now.
Darn right he is. Yep. Yes. Yep.
That's so good. Yep. Wow. Okay. So what would you... what was like the biggest thing that you've taken away out of all this, out of the beginning of just this was a baby infant idea to now where it's at now and true impact outdoors? What is like one of the bigger takeaways that you've taken away?
There's been countless takeaways.
We got all night. Go ahead.
The big ones for me, I guess, I feel sorry for myself every once in a while. If I'm, you know, my back, I got a bad back and I feel sorry for myself when I get up in the morning and I'm creaking and cracking and, oh man, you know, and then I stop and I realize some of these awesome folks that I get to spend the weekends with, how can I complain about my backache or, you know, any sort of struggles I'm having in life when these guys are in way worse shape than I am physically, you know, emotionally, whatever it is. And I'm blessed. Mm-hmm. And if they can come up with a smile and pound through that day, why on earth can't I? You know, and it's been really personally on a level for me, it's been healthy for me to, you know, it makes me appreciate things and makes me get a good view on life personally.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's amazing. I mean, I feel like that's one thing, like, this is why I love this, because this is like on my top two things I'm like super passionate about, like I was telling you before, and us supporting our veterans is like, it's up there. It's right there in the top two. But like, yeah, you see these guys that do it and how strong they are. Like, I mean, I know, like, I wrestled in college and stuff, but like sometimes I'm like, oh man, this hurts. Should I do this? You know,
wussy.
I'm a wussy. Like, yeah, you know, I'm a wussy. And you think like, okay, like, well, some of these guys like have way more pain than I could probably even like imagine having. Yeah. Like, on top of that, like, not just the physical, they got probably some mental pain along with it, and they're still trucking along, killing their day.
Yep.
You know, as best as they can, if not even better than me. And I'm like, oh man. You're like, you know, but you get to see that firsthand. Like,
oh yeah,
that's a good. Time. It's a good takeaway. Just how blessed we are of like things that are really natural for us might not be so easy for somebody else.
Yeah, yep. they provided that like life for us.
You know, we went hunting in Wyoming this year with two veterans. We went out and harvested two elk, and one of the guys that went hunting with us, Homer, he is such a awesome dude.
Homer.
Homer went.
Homer.
You bet. Homer is he's an amputee. He's got one leg. And I am thinking, as we're planning this hunt, I'm thinking, man, I am out of shape. This is going to be rough. Oh man, I'm not looking forward to hiking these mountains, you know? And then we get out there. And who's the guy that is right ahead of me on the trails? And
Homer.
Homer's
dominating.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I'm out there sucking wind and climbing up these mountains. And I'm like, dude, I don't, I've got two legs and I'm hiking up these things hurting. I was like, I can't even imagine. But Homer's loving it. He is going for it. And he was right there the whole time. It was cool. It was fun. Cool. Yeah.
What's the future of True Impact Outdoors?
Oh man. I don't know. Okay. I look forward to it. We've got the hunts are growing like crazy. It's a beautiful growth. We're really just trying to hold on and make sure that the growth is proper. We've got quite a few hunts that are in the planning to grow this year, as well as repeat on all of our current events. The sky's the limit on this thing. It's really just comes down to how much time we have to.
What is your biggest need? That's what that's.
You know, being in Iowa that we are, like I said earlier, the support has been mind-blowing and humbling.
Phenomenal.
Financially, as we grow, obviously, the need will grow as well. Volunteers are coming out of the woodwork.
Good.
It's more of a struggle of making sure that everybody who wants to help can. And the biggest need and struggle that True Impact Outdoors has is getting noise out there so that people know about us.
Mm.
And like I said earlier, those veterans, they're a proud, strong community. Mm-hmm. And for them to say, you know, and it's, we've been focusing a lot on the veterans that are, you know, physically or mentally in a struggle or in a bad spot. But a veteran that served is welcome to come hunting with us. They don't need to be missing a limb. They don't need to be in a wheelchair. They don't need to be struggling to come hunt with us. That's something that, you know, it's kind of a fun part of it, is making sure that those folks are getting out.
Right.
But getting to the folks that could enjoy it, that could utilize it, mm-hmm. is honestly been our biggest struggle, because they're so strong, so proud. There's somebody who needs it. I've heard it more times than I count. There's somebody who needs it more than I do.
Mm.
Well, you're probably right.
Right.
But I haven't been able to reach out to them yet. So you want to come have fun and let's go hunting, you know?
Go hunt?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good. Okay. So how do our listeners hear more about what you're doing, and how do they get in touch?
Oh, the easiest way for us is Facebook and our website, trueimpactoutdoors.com.
Awesome. Okay. Closing thoughts. I'd love to hear your closing thoughts.
I'm
now.
Like just blown away here. This is fun. My thing is for our listeners, like, step up, like, to help out our veterans. Like, I know, like, everyone says, like, I want to do that. Like, let's be people that do step up, because these, you know, our fellow brothers and sisters are out there doing the things that's doing. I think the one best thing we can do sometimes is just show your passion, like, donate your time. If you're a good hunter and you know all the rules and stuff, like, donate your time. Time's just as good as money,
mm-hmm.
you know, so, like, I don't know, but what you're doing, though, is amazing. I'm blown away that you're doing it. I think it's awesome. That's why I'm like, oh, man, fellow DCG Mustang guys doing amazing things. This is great. So I'll keep it up. If I can help, I'm a bad shot, so I can't. You don't want me out there. I'm a big target.
Yeah.
But but this is awesome. I think you're doing great things. God's doing awesome things with you and how you're doing things and touching lives and,
right.
Just keep it up, man. Like, that's awesome.
Well, I appreciate it. It is truly a family, and it is a ton of people. You know, at the events, we talk about the TIO family a lot. And like I've said, there are folks involved on a volunteer and on a hunting level that they're family to me. And,
right.
You know,
right.
And it's not me. It's hundreds of people who have made this what it is.
Right.
I'm just lucky enough to be the guy that they call the president for some silly reason until they vote me out and get smart. But no, it's beautiful. It's fun, and wouldn't trade it for the world.
Right.
That's awesome.
So this is how I'll recap this. At the end of the day, like, to serve somebody is the most joyous thing you can do. And I've had the pleasure of hanging out with some adaptive athletes and helping them snow ski. And I wouldn't rather be on the biggest mountain in the world with the best snow rather than being with those people and those athletes. And some of them are veterans, and it is like the greatest thing to help them experience something they never thought they could. And so I kind of feel like I have a glimpse of what it feels like to have Eldon shoot a buck or Homer dominate the mountain, you know? But it's so great to be able to serve somebody, and it does put something in your heart of a perspective, right?
Yep.
That maybe I have it way better than I mean, I'm such a wuss, you know, like, why would I ever complain when I see somebody who's enjoying their life as much as they are? And so I'm grateful for that. And then my last thing I would say that my key takeaway from this podcast was, sometimes you just got to say yes. Like, going back to that dinner table, like, well, Matt will do it. What did you say?
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah, I will. Yes, I will. You know, and then look at what happened because you just said yes. And look at all the athletes and just the hunters that you get to impact, and the veterans that you get to impact, just because you said, you know what? Yeah. And how many other times I've been scared to say yes, or, you know, like, nah, I don't know what I'm going to do. Or what is the board going to say? Like, I got to talk to somebody before I say yes. Like, no, just say yes, Philip, and go serve somebody, you know? Mm-hmm. So a great job, Matt. And I'm so grateful that Aaron is the one who set this up. And I think that you are the uncommon to the uncommon. And so the Uncommon Life Project is a perfect place for you to announce your story and try to get more listeners and more people and ears to help this amazing cause that you're going after. So I've been your host, Philip Ramsey. You've been listening to the Uncommon Life Project and
Aaron Kramer.
Everyone, gotta love it. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, go be uncommon. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Bye.
That's all for this episode of the Uncommon Life Project. brought to you by Uncommon Wealth Partners. Be sure to visit uncommonwealth.com to learn more about our services. Don't miss an episode as we introduce you to inspiring people who are actively pursuing an uncommon life.